finally going to consummate your relationship
here? We're going to consummate. Last night, we spent a long, fitful evening watching a couple movies called Mad Max and Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, which is not actually called Mad
no,
Max
No, it's just
2.
Called The Road Warrior.
They call it that on IMDb because there's actually some USA releases that say Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, because some people are confused by the fact that it's the second movie in the series.
I like it kind of how they are kind of like, you wouldn't really necessarily infer that they're connected.
And actually, while we were watching The Road Warrior, I realized something. I said this to Blaine. I said, you know, they pretty much, they sum up the whole boring first movie very quickly, and just kind of, and they also throw in some apocalyptic stuff that wasn't in the first one. And it makes it much more interesting. And then you're like, oh, cool. That must have been a good movie. But we knew better because we had just watched it. So, Blaine, what'd you think of these movies?
Good.
We're about to watch the third one in a couple days, maybe.
We should watch it right now.
No, it's too long. It's too much to
How long is it?
It's like 4 hours.
Really? That's a lie.
It's like 2.5.
Got the soundtrack on vinyl.
He does, on vinyl. Right it's next displayed, to his Bossa Nova.
It's displayed prominently right next to my Bossa Nova. I figure that's how I'll decorate my apartment.
So in the first one, Mad Max Grabowski, whatever his name is.
Well, his name is just Max.
It's Max.
Max.
He's got the turbo thundercharged car.
Max Grabowski. It's some Max Polish name. That's what his name is. And they say that. And at one point, somebody earlier on calls him Mad Max because...
You're Mad Max.
Yeah, because in Blaine, the whole movie kept saying, I just want to see him go mad. And I kept telling him, they've been calling him that the whole movie. Like, they didn't ever call him that except for, like, once in the beginning. Like, the chief, the bald gay chief.
Yeah, with the big beard.
Yeah,
the mustache.
The big gay mustache.
Kind of looks like the guy from the Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, he does.
He does kind of look like...
the Strong-Arm Alchemist.
Strong-Arm Alchemist. Mm-hmm. Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z.
I'm sure they based that character off of.
It's very likely that they did. That's so anyway, the kind of way that those guys think. That's why
Mad Max
is awesome.
Mad Max goes by the nickname Maverick, and his best friend is the Goose. And then the bad guy is there's Knight Rider and Iceman.
Yeah, nice. Or is he like Soviet Russia?
Soviet Russia.
You're doing a disservice to this film, which I did not like when I first saw it when I was a kid. But
I recently saw it.
It's not my favorite.
But, it has long periods where it really loses its steam.
Yeah, it does kind of take too much time.
You're like, what's going on?
For its budget,
it's
and for whenever it's made, it has some really cool car chases. And George Miller has some really interesting ways to make things really dark, and then in moments where he amps it up and cuts to fast cuts, he suddenly throws in weirdly cartoonish touches.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, at the very end of Mad Max, when the main bad guy with the shaved eyebrow is on...
The toe cutter.
Yes.
Oh, the bulging
eyes. He's on his motorcycle, and he's getting chased by Max, and they climb up over a ridge, and there's a truck, and it does a few quick cuts, and it goes to a cut of him inside his helmet, and there's suddenly... huge fake eyes bulging out of the sockets.
Yeah.
And it's really weird, but it actually works.
He was trying to, he was trying to play with that kind of stylism. You know, the toe cut, that's what I always say whenever I see motorcycle guys drive around. I just go, it's toe cut eyes.
Yeah.
You know a man by the name of Toe Cutter? And then
and
and he runs over Mad Max's wife and her baby.
What is that, Final Cut?
That's Final Cut. Anyway, Mad Max sets it all up for Road Warrior. Before Thunderdome, they should call it.
They should call it before.
Leading up to Thunderdome, they should call it.
Dun, 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 dun.
And the Road Warrior has the thing that...
it's got the car, which is awesome.
It's got the car, and it's got...
and booby trap.
The thing that they made fun of in South Park where...
Oh, speak.
Where Humongous... repeatedly says, just walk away.
Yeah, just walk away.
Just walk away.
And he said that throughout the whole entire
movie. Spare your just lives. Just walk away.
Yeah. And,
spoiler alert, it's filled with sand.
Spoiler alert, Humongous is truly Humongous.
Yeah. Blaine like constantly made mention of Humongous's, great size, which wasn't really.
It's huge, it's huge seven, it's right? Huge.
Yeah, and he also, I think at one point you called him Mr. Humongous or something like that. You called him a variety of humongous names.
I was like, what was Humongous thinking?
I told him before the movie started, I said, you know who one of the bad guys is? And he said, who? And I said, Bennett. And he said, how do you know? I said, because he has chainmail and he's really budgy.
Yeah.
He didn't have actually chainmail, but he does have a little gay boyfriend.
A gimp.
That's, yeah, he does. He's not a gimp, though.
He's, yeah, he's a gimp.
He doesn't have a mask on or anything.
True.
They're all kind of dressed like
that. Well, they're, yeah. It's just slaves.
Later on, then he's chained to Humongous. Humongous lets him go.
Yep. Maybe he was like third tier. Of, yeah. You know,
it's the corporate structure for the post-apocalyptic gang.
The Road Warrior, kind of like the end Mad Max a little bit, except for there's no denouement where he goes and kills Johnny Boy. By
he was happy though, wasn't it? Because they were like you know, they're like,
the Feral Boy was the narrator like, and talking about how
the porn
we
stars.
Yeah. Yeah. God, that just like threw up.
It did.
Like totally distracted.
Every time I saw the feral kid, I remarked that he looks like a porn star to me.
The feral kid?
Yeah.
You know the kid with the boomerang?
He's deeply,
yeah, yeah,
he's
kind of like
tanned, a little muscular for a 7-year-old kid.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
And then he had flowing, really feathered blonde hair, just like Malibu from American Gladiators.
And he bit people's hands when they were trying to...
And when he smiled... He was like, looked like he was coming.
There should be a picture.
Even though,
with like his mouth open, he's like, "I just came." Or something. As a
even though him and his gang are actually trying to be going from the little stronghold that they created, where they think they've got a tanker of gas, and Bennett's gang and Humongous's gang are trying to get that, and Mad Max basically ends up. Through no fault of his own, trying to stay on his own.
Right.
He ends up getting beat up or something and ends up there. And then he's like, you know, I'll drive that tanker.
Right.
You talk to me. And he does the two point gun things. And
what has two index fingers and loves driving tankers.
Yeah. you talk to me.
He does that joke.
Did that joke at one time when we were talking about getting gear in my film class.
Yeah.
And like no one laughed. I mean, it was like I'd gotten like all the...
Does anyone ever laugh when you make one of your super esoteric like references
like,
to something no one knows?
Well,
they're like, "What is that? A goofy movie?"
But somewhat, how esoteric is South Park referenced it? That makes it esoteric.
You should say after you say the joke.
I did because no one laughed.
You get it from the Road Warrior.
I'm like right from the Road Warrior, and like
they're like, "Oh,
and."
A lot of it's context. Sometimes.
There's a lot of things. Like, when you watch a movie like that from 1981, you see a lot of people who ended up being in other movies. And the guy who's the head of the good guy compound...
He kind of looks like Doll
looks
Man.
Looks like Mick Jagger.
Yeah, he does.
Looks like Mick Jagger. So there's, like, a lot of people who look like that. And then Bruce Spence, who plays the helicopter guy...
Mm-hmm.
Really
was the eye of Sauron.
Right. And he plays... Like and he plays a very similar character, not supposed to be the same one in Thunderdome.
It's weird. Are you sure it's not the same character?
It's not.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Because it's like the exact same character.
Flying machine.
He just has a son now.
Yeah.
How do you know that he's not the same character?
Because it's not. Like, they say in this that he's...
They're like, hey, you're not the same character.
He went on to be the leader of their clan, they said, because the one guy got the pitchfork.
Oh, and it's like...
I thought the feral kid ended up becoming the leader.
Eventually. He says eventually. At the end of the thing, narration, he says... He says that, you know, this group of people found a new leader immediately. It was the guy from the sky. And they show a shot of Bruce Spence sitting next to the blonde girl who he had eyes on.
That's right.
And then he said, and years later after he died, I became. So it is a different character. And also that's referenced by the fact that Max and him have no recognition of each other in the third movie.
They kind of seem like they do.
Oh, they're like, hey, new guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they kind of just have another thing. We're like, kind of like...
Which is why it's like even if you watch them all, they're sort of very disconnected.
They're very repetitive at the same time. They follow... The third one is definitely different from the first two.
Yeah.
The first two are very similar in ways. It's almost like Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 are actually the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remake. Evil Dead 2 is a remake of Evil Dead 1. It's almost exactly the same. They switch some stuff around. They add some cool stuff. Like, he chops off his own hand and puts on it. You know. But they make no reference in the second one that this happened to him already in the first one. So it's basically like it's just starting over.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, they don't do this in this. They pay a little lip service by... I think basically what he wanted to do was they gave him some more money to make this movie again. He's like, you know what? I can make this actually look post-apocalyptic. Because they almost like retcon it to the point where they explain that the first movie is supposed to be in this post-apocalyptic world, but it doesn't look like it compared to The Road Warrior.
Well, they're in the wasteland. Because
they're deep in the Forbidden Zone or whatever in the second one. But
the way I figured it was that things were getting to the point of that, like, then the big war was going to happen.
No, they explained it. They placed it very carefully in Cornell. I thought they were going to do that, too. because it had been a while since I'd seen it. Then they very carefully say, oh, all this stuff happened. And then they start showing the shots from Mad Max.
Mm.
Yeah.
Before that, they show shots of, like, World War II era footage of people fighting, which I thought was kind of stupid.
Well, maybe it's all sort of, like, its own, like, yeah, alternate universe kind of thing. Yeah, and you're supposed to believe that something's, like...
After the first one was, like, more of a civilized post-apocalyptic world, and then he, like, drove into this wasteland.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It was like something from, like, yeah, it's all... And then they reference all that stuff in, like, Hokodono canon, you know, Fist of the North Star, which is what that is.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely a lot of anime references were drawn from Mad Max and Mad Max 2. I really liked the second one when I was a kid. I think I just liked that he had shorter hair and looked like a badass with the short shotgun, and he had the car.
He's got the knee brace.
Uh-huh. But in the third one, he was like a dirtbag looking and didn't have the shotgun or the car. But well, I think
he doesn't have a shotgun or a car at the end of the second one.
Yeah.
He did was crash a tanker, and then
he had a shotgun in the second one.
But he used it.
What?
Yeah.
There's no.
He ends up. He gets all his weapons back in the third one, though, Blaine. It's awesome.
Really?
Oh, yay. Yeah. There's no. Leave your weapons here. It's the law in Bottom.
Found a large cache of
the third one is two separate movies, pretty much.
It kind of is.
Two separate movies?
Yeah, you'll see.
But
you'll
see. It's one of those cases where, like, the second act
the first
takes a lot more time and slows it down.
No, because the
first movie is split into two pieces with the second act.
I know. You're talking about the third movie.
The third movie
has a second act that gets slower.
And the second half is this.
It's like True Lies.
Is this Peter Pan thing that doesn't? I don't think it really fits. It's interesting.
It does. It fits to the full story of like the post-apocalyptic like reclamation.
Doesn't seem like the same universe. It turns into a kids' movie for sure.
Yeah, that's the music part. I like that aspect of it, though. I don't know. I just like that you can do an 80s movie that could be, like, really gross and violent, but then still have whimsy in it. And there's a little bit of that in that part of it. And I like that.
The score is fantastic in both these movies. So what do you think of that?
I liked it overall.
Generally, like, having this sort of thing built up, and you'd seen The Road Warrior before, years before, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, when you have something like this built up and told how great and historical...
Wait, which one are we talking about? The first or second?
Let's both. I kind of lump them together.
I liked the... The first one seemed kind of weird how they killed off the... Like, the guy that you'd think was the main bad guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
The toe cutter.
Is that...
Yeah, they left Johnny Boy.
Like, yeah.
They left Johnny Boy.
With the hacksaw.
But it was really fitting.
But it's also... It was cyclical, because Johnny Boy is the one who gets out of prison and ends up killing the goose.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what... Like, I didn't like
him. Even though he didn't want to.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, he didn't.
And the goose was the only one that knew.
Didn't it end up being, like, the Johnny Boy's whole thing was, like, he was rationalizing, but he actually was, like, they give you, like, a kind of ambiguity about his,
well,
like,
no, at the end,
mental
like,
problems?
He says, I'm sick. That's what he says. At first he says, I didn't ever mean to hurt anyone. And then he thanks for me. He goes, I'm sick. I'm really sick. I need help.
It was just bullshitting.
And then, basically. I mean, I thought that was the only point of the movie where the Max character is interesting. Because before that, it's all just like something happens and he reacts.
Reactionary,
to it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he makes this decision to basically turn into like, and he kind of turns psycho. He loses his mind and he decides to kill this kid who really personally hasn't wronged him or his family. He incidentally kills his friend. Yeah, he turns into that. Which I think is weird because the transition from that, where he's changing to that character, to suddenly turns into the Clint Eastwood character from the Fistful of Dollars movies.
Yeah,
in Road Warrior, which is basically almost a remake of that, except for he doesn't go back between the sides. It's just like, I'm going to make a deal with you, and I'm going to self-serve myself. And then he incidentally ends up helping them because
he just becomes a sort of anti-outlaw.
But the last time we see him before that in Mad Max, it's turned into this vigilante thing, you know, like this like real personal revenge thing. And they show that by him killing a guy who didn't personally do anything to him. He burned his friend half to death.
He doesn't kill him, but he doesn't have to let him live.
Yeah.
Just like in Batman Beyond. He gives him the hacksaw. He lets
I know, but also. It was a trick because he says like, it'll take you 10 minutes to saw through. That high tensile steel that the handcuffs made of, or it'll take you 5 minutes to saw through your ankle. Then he walks up the hill, and like 30 seconds later, he was gonna kill him.
For sure.
Kind of messed up, man.
Good ones.
There was a retard in that movie too. Remember him? Remember the retard?
No idea, my friend.
Don't give him hints.
What?
Nothing. He's being a dick right now.
I'm sorry.
I hate you. No, it was retarded guy.
Oh, yeah, 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 right. Yeah. Crockett Tubbs? Yeah.
Crocker? I don't know, but he was like...
EJO?
We actually had a lot of fun last night because I enjoy the movies, and we sat through them and talked the entire time. I was exhausted, and I think you were too. And we were both like almost upside down in our chairs. Like by the end of it, like
half asleep.
Like almost, I wasn't like falling asleep, but I was just like tired. And we were just like saying things and like not finishing them because we were laughing halfway through what we were saying, and it just wasn't
good times. That's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, yeah. It was enjoyable for me, but I knew he wasn't getting the full movie experience because everything that was happening, we were making fun of.
Not really. Oh, I got it. Give me a little trivia.
For instance, when the Mick Jagger guy comes up like alongside the tanker to help, and then one of the guys throws this gigantic metal trident and it hits him in the back and he slumps over and I was like, he's threw a trident at him, and Blaine just like starts cracking up like for no reason. He's like, and then after, like I know, but like you laugh for like 5 minutes. Then after the scene was already dead and gone, you're like, that thing was so huge.
It was humongous.
It was humongous. It was like this gigantic... Like tridents are funny. No, it wasn't just a trident, though. It was like a gigantic...
It was a fork.
It was like a fork, but it had like three... like
it was three-pronged. Yeah. It was like something... like, you know those toys? Like, I had a Batmobile thing, yeah, and I had like a harpoon.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Like this guy, and didn't even have like a long thing. It was just like a thing with a huge chunk of metal. And this guy like hurled it at him, and it sticks in him. He's like, ugh.
And you said it like... it stuck him in the left shoulder, but it was like in like the whole. It was so big.
Because you only see one part of it go in his left shoulder, but the whole thing, it just completely eviscerated.
Pretty much.
I don't know. It was
fork that guy, huh?
Yeah, fork him right in the A.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway, that was pretty funny. Good movie.
So the chase in that one is pretty intense, though, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of stupid how Humongous died, remember? It just like went one of those chicken things.
You know, that's the thing, is you watch, go back and watch the movies you love, and like I really picked it apart the whole time. Humongous like starts running, chasing, like coming from the other end.
How did he even get over there?
I don't know. He suddenly got way over there, and he's like, and he turns on his nitrous.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. That's right.
He just drives through each other, and he's in this tiny little go kart, right? And Max is in a gigantic Mack truck with a tank behind it. And even that, he's got Bennett as a buffer on his bumper.
That's
right.
Right.
And Bennett turns around and is like, ah! And then it's just because like. It's like someone tore up a piece of cardboard and threw it all over something. And that's how Humongous
that's
dies.
Right.
Like, he had this great idea in his mind about some magical thing.
Well, there's a definite...
He had a god complex.
Definite nihilism in the first two films. I think that is what the whimsical, like, boring second part of the third movie is trying to sort of redeem something there a little bit. And I think that's why that's there.
That's annoying. That's everyone's least favorite part of the whole series, though. I hope you know that. Not yours, obviously.
No. My least favorite part is the ugly, stupid wife and the stupid baby in the first one. And when they go to his parents' house, like in the country.
No, it's her aunt's house.
Or whatever.
And it was kind of annoying to me because Mel Gibson didn't even, like, give a shit about, you know, anything that was going on. Like, he was gone whenever he...
Yeah.
Like, he's like, let's... I'm going to go check
out... What was the baby's name? Spock. That's another thing. We didn't hear what the lady called the baby, so we called him Spock the whole
time. Yeah, weird.
She's like... Here's the thing. She almost gets raped, right? Out in the woods. Not really. Like, she sees some guys. And then
she's freaked.
Her aunt's there, and she's like, oh, come inside and rest. And she's like, and then suddenly she's like, oh no, my 1-year-old baby. I forgot about him for the last 5 hours. And she runs outside. She's like, Spock, where are you, Spock? And then it turns out that all the bad guys have him.
Yeah, well, if you were like Mel Gibson and, you know, she was being chased to the woods, you wouldn't go after him. You'd stay with your wife and, you know, like, protect her.
Yeah, right.
You know.
What do you mean? You mean if the bad guys had your baby and your wife?
No, they didn't know that they had the baby.
She forgot all about the baby. She comes back up, followed by Cousin It, and he grabs a gun, and they're like, oh, they're down there. There's some guys. And he's like, oh. And he grabs, and then he runs down the hill.
That's
and then
what you would do.
Him. No, you wouldn't.
You'd
stay you would protect
there.
Your crazy wife.
Yeah, and the baby.
You'd know that you'd be going between the enemy and the wife, so you'd be doing double duty. You'd be proactive about it and not
be
defensive.
You gotta be defensive.
You gotta be smarter than that. He's being a retard because you gotta think they're gonna go around the woods and steal your baby, which is what happened.
Yeah.
And then here's the worst thing. he's tinkering with the car, right? Mm-hmm. He's making it all nice and good. Mm-hmm. So what do they do? She runs. She jumps in the car with her aunt and baby Spock, and they drive for about 20 feet.
And the car dies, and then she gets out. She's and
like,
gets
run like there was nothing wrong with the car before.
There was nothing wrong. With the
and
car
then she gets run over.
The tire was like popped.
And yeah. She gets run over by the tow cutter on a motorcycle with carrying a baby.
Yeah,
yeah, just like in The Punisher, right?
You say it like it ripped off The Punisher.
No, Punisher. I know
the
that.
The Punisher ripped off.
He kept saying, that's just like The Punisher. Like,
well, I mean,
you gotta say, The Punisher's just like this.
First of all, if anytime you say The Punisher, you don't say The Punisher. It's kind of like Sliders. You have to call it by what it is.
Punisher?
It's The Punisher.
The Punisher?
Punisher.
Punisher.
The Punisher. The Punisher.
There you go. And then, the Punisher. And then for Sliders, you go, Sliders.
It's The Punisher.
Yeah, you know that one at least.
I know that.
Anyway, yeah, I remember being like 10 and watching the first Mad Max and being like, this movie's really boring, kind of slow. And then when the ugly wife gets run over with her baby and motorcycle, I'm like, first of all, I was thinking, I was like, she just wasn't attractive.
She looked kind of Cameron Diaz in Being John Malkovich.
Yeah, exactly. That's ugly.
She just had the hair.
Homely.
Yeah, the weird, like, ratty hair.
That was it.
The rat nest hair. And I was like, well, could a motorcycle really kill somebody to run him over? Yeah, kill a baby. But yeah, it's like, but then he gets run over. But then Max actually gets run over by the motorcycle, too. Right? And that's awesome.
Well, first they shoot him in the leg.
Yeah.
And then he's laying there reaching for his gun, and they run over his elbow.
Yeah, his elbow.
Which would hurt.
Which would hurt like a son of a bitch.
Yeah. He got owned. And then he sends his angry vampire-looking guy to get him. And he's like, you be careful. And he's like, I know what I'm doing. And then he drives like 10 feet. And if Max was laying there next to the gun already, right? He's like, and Max is like, oh no, he's coming. And he grabs the gun and shoots the guy. It's like 20 feet to spare.
That was so stupid. They throw bad guys away, like, you know, so... Yeah.
That's because the bad guys are crazy. It's nihilism is still going on in that first one. The whole thing
they're
is
just, not
death,
very good
death
bad.
And, like...
It seems like there was, like, 50 bad guys.
Every time you say something about nihilism, I want to say stuff that John Goodman said.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I'm not here to discuss the tenets of National Socialism with you.
Exactly.
He says something about... Are you talking about Nazis? The Nazis?
The Nazis?
Donnie, I'm not here to discuss the tenets of National Socialism with you.
No, but do you remember the beginning when it showed, like, the biker gang?
Yeah.
There was, like, 50 of them, and,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
by the
yeah,
middle,
the
there was, like, five.
Yeah, there ends up being, like, four of them.
They, did,
yeah,
they
like,
dwindled.
Yeah.
Maybe they just...
The budget got cut. No, to me, the creepiest parts of that movie are like, the calm parts.
Rented them.
That first one, like the calm parts, like when he's at the beach house in the beginning,
when
he's at the aunt's house. Well, no, it's just, like, how can these things... Like, then they go to, like, a... Like out in the middle of Outback style, like gas station, and like get an ice cream sandwich or something, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. And that's just
that?
The weirdest. Like, what's going on with that? Like,
yeah, remember
still
they're
something.
Getting their tire fixed.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And he's like the worst husband. Like, it's in post apostocalyptic Australia,
right.
And
she's like, "Hey, we're gonna go get some ice
cream sandwich."
And he doesn't even answer.
He's
like,
yeah.
He just drives
whatever.
Away, and he kind of looks at her, and he's like, "Yeah,
whatever. I don't need to be
and then
here."
Then he continues to talk. Tire.
I mean, she took the car.
Yeah.
She took the car. So you don't, you know,
yeah.
he could have gone. Like,
he's definitely
he
disaffected
there?
From the beginning of the first one. He's completely like.
The first one, I mean, that's the thing. It's not a perfect movie. It was carried by it. The fact
no.
you have Mel Gibson in it,
yeah.
And then you have. No, I'm talking about the fact that it's very flawed. It's a very,
yeah.
very flawed
yeah,
film.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
obviously...
There's no excuse.
I mean, it's what amounts to a well-made student film in America. Like, this was made when George Miller was relatively young, and I don't think he had a lot under his belt.
Except M.D.
Right. So, he was able to, I think, parlay that into... You know, the Road Warrior and Mad Max had increasing, and Thunderdome had increasingly better production value
mm-hmm.
and more grotesque people, and the apocalyptic overtones ended up getting bigger and bigger, and eventually they turned into Waterworld, you know, which they're like, hey, that looks kind of cool. Let's turn that into a movie about a guy with gills.
The moon.
ass fucking cocksuckers.
Did they put onions in it?
Yeah. There's not even onions on this fucking thing.